Good morning. Only the WWE would be so bold as to script events to so perfectly set up the looming climax. The key protagonists drawn together in thrilling matches with enough dispute and circumstance to fire all manner of possibility and debate. The story of the year propelled the Brisbane Lions to the top, complete with a Lincoln McCarthy finisher for the sizzle reel. The Cats were left salty and itching for another crack. One versus two was good. The meeting of the past two champions was better. By the midpoint of the second quarter, you knew it was the game of the season. If that's the title bout at the end of September, then we'll count the days in anticipation. One quarter dominated by each, showcasing the best of divergent styles, the meeting of oil and water. One half played in idyllic conditions, the next half played in the rain. The MCG showcased all of what Richmond and West Coast have to offer. As a taster, it was addictive. And for the storylines, combined with the Gabba, it was compulsive.
Out the back to Witherden, dumped as he kicks. Get under this, take a mark. Oh, one of the greatest marks you'll ever see.
Wow.
And it's the former Cat McCarthy. Finish the job, Lincoln. Be a hero and set this place on fire.
The Lions are going to get it done. It's up to the wing now. They're on their feet at the Gabba. Listen to this. Harry Taylor, wait for the siren. We have witnessed one of the great games that this famous venue has ever seen.
Gee, it was a tough game. From where I sit down at ground level, the bodies were hitting hard today. So, yeah, we found another way to win. I thought, it was a game that could have gone either way, obviously. But we just toughed it out.
Well, it's disappointing not to get the result, but, I mean, we outplayed them for most of the game. So that makes us sting a little bit more when you have control of the game and let it slip late. But that was a pretty good contest, I think, against two pretty good teams. They're certainly a good team.
Got a handball to Nelson. His kick was smothered on the way through. Ellis picks it up to Jack, who's kicked a goal. Bolton tries to make something happen. Castagna, it doesn't matter. His snap falls short from 29 points down. Richmond win.
I was pleased with our guys' endeavour, effort and intent to get back in the contest and eventually wrested away. It was a pretty good game of footy, hard and tough, and it was really pleasing to see us fight that hard to get the win.
After quarter time, we probably lowered our colours in a few areas, but we gusted out. So, all credit to Richmond, and they walk away with the 4 points, but I'm still proud of our players.
So the fatal four-way's perfectly set, but the script writers, well, they stayed on point across the entire weekend. Jared Roughead's farewell, Aaron Sandilands piggybacking Hayden Ballantyne from the field, the love for Daisy Thomas from the Carlton fans, the wild reversal of fortunes for North Melbourne and Essendon, the charge of the Bulldogs, the re-emergence of the Magpies, and the complete and utter collapse of Adelaide, Port Adelaide, and the Giants. And the dodgy refs did their bit as well. For clarity, the rule isn't studs up. It's using studs in a manner likely to cause injury. It's a good law, completely misapplied in the instances of Jack Revolt's, and this is the direct result of ticking off on the Jeremy Howe decision from the Queen's birthday, rather than re-emphasising the rule, using studs in a manner likely to cause injury. Hopefully there's no ticking off of what happened yesterday when the umpires department meets today. David King with the most important Monday means test of the year. Plenty of your calls, so order your thoughts. What do the script writers do for us next? We'll take those in a few moments' time. And that's all to say nothing of the Ashes, which has undergone a dramatic psychological shift. Australia got out of Lords with its lead intact, but badly battered as Jofra Archer ushered in the new age of cricket between the two nations. The hour and a half on Saturday night was utterly unforgettable in the way that it all transpired. So your call shortly. Shoot through your messages now, 0433 98 11 16. Chris Fagan saw it all on the weekend. He was down on the bench as the Lions won at the Gabba. He went to the MCG yesterday and then he finished off celebrating Ruffy's farewell game. And he's with me in the Virgin Lounge before he heads back to Brisbane this morning. Chris Fagan, welcome to SEN.
Thanks, Jared.
What an extraordinary weekend, and you've lived the best parts of it.
Yeah, it was a great weekend of footy. Some fantastic moments, and I guess ours on Saturday afternoon was one of those. It was one of those tight games, and we're able to hang tough and find a way to win. We're probably fortunate in some ways because Geelong held sway for most of the day, although it was a pretty tight game for most of the afternoon in a sense.
We might work backwards through it. How was the Ruffy farewell? It's hard to imagine. He could have scripted it any better.
Yeah, fancy that. 6 goals in your last game. I don't think too many people have done that in the history of the game. It was great to go along yesterday and witness. I was sitting there with Hodgie and Brad Sewell, and we enjoyed the afternoon. We all captured the first goal on our cameras, so we've got that forever, and we're able to go down to the rooms afterwards and say hello to him and have a quiet ale last night with him. And he's been fantastic for that footy club, and his story is a wonderful story, thank God. And he can be very, very happy with his football career. He's got the best out of himself.
How about that last snap? As all the innate skill and the talent and the training through the years almost captured in one moment for him.
It was. That was his goal today for sure. That's a signature rough head shot on the wing running towards the boundary. So when he had the ball in his hands, I thought he's a chance to kick this. And he did, and the crowd erupted, and he was pretty happy with himself, I think. So well done to him.
You'd all have been having a bit of a laugh at that stage, wouldn't you, as the whole game revolved around him? They were trying to get him the ball.
Yeah, no, we were. I mean, he got that goal early. I mean, he got a couple in the first quarter, but by the last quarter, we were pretty happy for him, and that just that sealed the deal, that one.
What did you see over at the MCG? What impression did Richmond and West Coast leave with you?
Oh, they're both really good football teams. It was an interesting match. When it was a little bit drier, West Coast were definitely tough to handle for the Tigers. And then when the rain came, it definitely suited Richmond's style, which is that surging forward sort of game. So I actually left, I think, with about 15 minutes to play, thinking that Richmond had it in the bag. But obviously there was a few more twists in the game, and it ended up quite close. But just walk away with a lot of respect for both teams. They've got their own brand, their own way of playing the game, and it's good to watch it. And get ready a little bit for Richmond next week, which will be a huge challenge for our team.
Did you encourage your players to make some time to watch that yesterday?
No, I don't. I just let them do their own thing. They'll do their research during the week, as we always do, and our players are really good at that. But in terms of their Sunday, if they want to have a mental rest from the game and just recover physically, I've got no problems with that.
Did you feel like the intensity of the game was worthy of a final and maybe even the last game of the year?
Yeah, well, I had a brief chat to the players after the game, and I said, look, we'll have a talk on Monday about what you learnt from the game and how it felt out there. But the early indications were, particularly from some of our younger players who haven't played in finals, that was the most intense, fierce game of football that they played in. They learnt quite a lot. So from a preparation point of view for finals, it couldn't have been a better sort of a game, and it was quite hot up there as well. So it tested them to the end.
How formidable a challenge is Richmond at the MCG on what you know and on what you witnessed firsthand yesterday?
Yeah, well, their record suggests that it's one of the more formidable challenges in AFL footy. They obviously love playing there, and they get a huge number of supporters that make a big amount of noise. So that in itself is a challenge, and we had a little experience of that with Essendon a long time ago, back in round 4, and hopefully we can remind ourselves of that day, because we didn't play all that well, particularly to begin with, and prepare for the environment that we're going to go into on the weekend, and knowing that Richmond play a really tough, hard brand of footy. So it'll be, I suggest, a similar game to the one we just had against Geelong.
You've been picking up the challenges along the way and growing with them. Is the MCG on a big day like that, and you point out that you haven't stacked up previously, is this the next one?
Yeah, it is a bit. I mean, we don't get to play there very often, which is a bit unfortunate, but and round 4 is feels like a long time ago now. But the boys were certainly able to recall the lessons they learned from the Collingwood game in round 5 to help us on the weekend. And we'll do the same this week. there's no doubt that experience will have helped us. We get to have our captains run on the MCG on Saturday because there's no game there, which is good to be able to have actually a run on the oval before we play. And then we'll see what Sunday brings. But, you know, whatever happens on Sunday, it's going to be good for us. We'll learn something from it, regardless of the result. And we couldn't have asked for a better sort of lead up to finals playing Geelong and Richmond.
What's it worth, do you reckon, to be top of the ladder with one to play for growth, for confidence, for validation, for positioning, for anything?
Probably haven't thought about it all that much. It's so busy doing it week to week.
Yeah. And
just trying to apply your process. The fantastic thing is I don't think we can finish any worse than fourth. We can finish first, we can finish second, third or fourth. So to get the double chance is fantastic. If we can finish top two and get that double chance at home, that's even better. But regardless, I mean, we just start a tough game next weekend. I think West Coast will face up to a Hawthorn team that'll be pretty determined to do well. Geelong's got Carlton, so they're trying to win every game they can, Carlton. So for everyone, it's pretty difficult and tough at this time of year. So it'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
What did you want to see on Saturday night? What did you watch back? What were you most keen to get a look at from your game?
I was probably keen to go straight to the last quarter.
Yeah.
That was the best quarter. I had a look at that to see how we fared under pressure. And we had some good moments and some not good so good moments. But the great thing about it was that we just endured and toughed it out and stayed in the moment and didn't worry too much when we made a mistake. I thought throughout the game we had our moments where we could have got some score on the board, but you know, they defended particularly well and didn't allow that to happen, or we made a mistake with our ball use. So plenty to learn. Plenty that we, you know, the idea is to, you don't get to the end of the year and think what you've done all year is going to get it done for you. You try to improve again. So that's our goal.
Did you make a strategic change within the game? Did you pull the trigger in the last quarter on really getting the run, or is that how you had intended to play and just what wasn't quite there?
We're not that clever, really. I mean, to be honest, all I said to the players on the bench is, we're three goals down. We might just have to be a little bit more bold and daring with our ball use. So I thought we actually played a little bit conservative on the day. A lot of that was due to Geelong's good defence, I've got to say that. And the games sometimes open up late. But, you know, when we were two or three goals down, the message was just to go for it a little bit, try and open up the corridor if we can. And we're able to do that a couple of times, and it helped us, I think, to score.
Have you built a lot of, has the players built a lot of confidence around running out games and being a powerful finishing team?
Yeah, I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think we've won most last quarters of any team in the competition. So a credit for that goes to our fitness crew and medical crew who do a great job preparing our players. And obviously, mentally, that's a great thing for our players to know, because sometimes, as we know, finals go down to the wire. So at least we know that we're in a good position physically to finish our games.
What's your attitude towards them sniffing the possibilities that they've opened up for themselves?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you've got to seize the moment. It's hard to get yourself into this position and you don't know what next year will bring. So from that perspective, just go for it, because we've got an opportunity.
And to draw on the experiences of teams who have been able to do it in recent years in unlikely circumstances?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I was at Hawthorn in 2008 when that probably happened unpredictably. But that was the case there. We thought, well, here we might as well go for it as hard as we can. And obviously we've seen the Dogs do that too in more recent times. So anything is possible in this life.
You've experienced a lot, Chris. What was the emotion and the adrenaline like at the end of Saturday compared to everything else you've lived through?
Well, you're probably referring to my reaction when the siren went, which, on reflection, I was a tad disappointed about. I thought I should have showed more control, I thought. I said to the players after, apologies about that, boys, but I think they enjoyed it. I mean, it was such a tense struggle. And then, you know, to not get there until the very end, I guess, when you're sitting down there with them, you just get caught up a little bit in the excitement. It was one of those moments I'll look back on. I'll never forget that Lincoln McCarthy mark, I don't think, and neither will he. And it was just one of those emotion-charged afternoons where There was a huge crowd at the Gabba. Most of them were supporting the Lions, and you know, the roar that erupted when that final siren went was something to remember.
You don't want to be too self-conscious about these moments, Chris, do you? You've got to live it with the players.
Oh, I suppose a little bit. If you probably wouldn't do it if you're up in the box. It's just when you're down on the ground, you do get caught up with it a fraction, I guess.
Hey, tell me, you saw yesterday at the MCG a couple of free kicks paid against Jack Revolt, the studs up. What was your view of when you saw the first one of those?
The first one, I thought, what a great mark, Jack. That's, you know, I was pretty surprised that the umpire turned it the other way. I don't think that was ever the intention of the rule. I mean, it just seemed so in context what he did, and there was nothing venomous in the way that he used his foot. He just used it to climb up and take that great mark. So I think that was an error.
The rule was studs in a manner likely to cause injury. It just feels like it was misapplied previously and ticked off, and it was certainly misapplied yesterday.
Yeah, I think so. And the umpire's only trying to do the right thing. I'm not being critical of him, but yep. I think if we're going to start paying those, that's not going to be good for our game.
Mm. Oh, well, it's a big finish ahead, Chris. What does Monday entail? So you fly back now. Would you get hold of your players again today?
Yeah, we'll have a review meeting at 4 o'clock this afternoon, so it'll just be a normal Monday for us, and we don't play till next Sunday, so we've just got a little bit more time to prepare for that game, which is good. The boys will probably needed that time just to recover from the game.
Do you expect it'll be buzzing when you get them together at 4 o'clock?
I'm not sure. They're usually a pretty energetic, up and about group. So, it's been a great atmosphere at the club for quite some weeks now. So, I don't think it'll be any different today.
And the Gabba it's been building week on week. Is it leaving an impression on you?
Yeah, it is. That's the loudest I've ever heard it. And I guess the pleasing part this time around. We filled the stadium against Collingwood in round five, but I would be fair to say that 50% of the crowd was Collingwood. I thought on the weekend, you know, 80 to 85% of the crowd was Brisbane. So it's our boys, based on their performances this year, have attracted the interest of the Brisbane public, and that's just great for our club.
And do you, when you get to the review, do you celebrate a singular moment? You say you'll never forget the Lincoln McCarthy mark. None of them will. Do you celebrate a moment like that?
No, probably not. We'll just look at it from a, you know, what do we do well and where could we improve perspective from a whole team point of view, and also from the different lines perspective.
Chris, appreciate your time. Fly well and very best of luck with what's to come.
Thanks very much, Jared. Cheers.
Lions coach Chris Fagan, they sit on top of the ladder with one game to play. So what was the most compelling storyline for you? The scriptwriters were hard at work. 1 versus 2, separated by a point. 3 versus 4 by a goal. It was all there, the case studies of yesterday. One quarter of West Coast, one quarter of Richmond's, one half in the dry, one half in the wet. What conclusions have you taken from it? 1-300-736-736. The Roughhead farewell doesn't get any better than that sixth goal, does it? Daisy Thomas with the Carlton fans. North Melbourne from one goal to the sweep. Essendon book their place in the finals. The Bulldogs are on the margin. The total and utter collapse of Adelaide, Port Adelaide and the Giants. And that's to say nothing of Jofra Archer versus Steve Smith. 1-300-736-736. It's one of the most compelling weekends for a sports viewer that we've had in many a year. 1-300-736-736. Join me now ahead of the Monday Means Test with David King.